What a wonderful truth it is taught to us through the scripture called good news, that all that God wants or asks from any person is to come to Christ, to make that personal choice to come to Christ and receive Him as your own personal Savior. That's what Luke chapter 15 is all about. I'd like to have you open your Bible. If you have a Bible with you, we're going to refer to this scripture this morning. Luke chapter 15. It's about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and two lost sons for whom Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. The theme of our message today is called He Seeks for Lost Sinners. And chapter 15 of Luke is for sure one of my favorite chapters of God's Word, because it's a chapter of hope and promise. It's a chapter concerning the cordial mercy of God's Savior Son toward lost people, doomed people. This chapter is actually the answer that Jesus gave to religious critics who thought they were good enough. They didn't need Jesus. They didn't need a Savior. Dear people, the message of the scripture can be summarized with this statement from Jesus: the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. If we want to know about Jesus Christ as He's revealed to us in the written word, this is the explanation of Jesus. The Son of Man, God's eternal Savior, Creator Son, became a man to seek and to save every person who is lost. He said it this way in another verse, John 3:17. He said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but through me the world might be saved. That's why Jesus came to this world. Paul said to his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptance by all men, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the message of the scripture. I love what Micah the prophet said. And Micah the prophet preached to the Jewish people maybe 400 or 500 years before Jesus was born. And he summarized the whole truth of the Bible this way concerning God. He said, He pardons iniquity and He delights in mercy. That's the God of the Bible. So the dramatic chapter that Dr. Jim read to us this morning, Luke chapter 15, shows us the merciful heart of the Son of God. And to know the heart of Jesus is to know the heart of the Father. We're in a series of Sunday morning messages, and you who come here every week, you're familiar with this. But we're in a series of messages of the four Gospels. All four Gospels, we're going through the life of Jesus in a chronological way. We're harmonizing the four Gospels. It's almost 3 years ago that we started this. And we're doing that because Jesus extended this invitation to the crowds that followed Him. He said, come and learn of me. And I just want to explain again this morning, I'm doing this for those who are guests. Our purpose every Sunday when we come to the four Gospels is to learn of Jesus, to learn to know Him better. And that's the reason the Holy Spirit inspired Dr. Luke, the physician Luke, to write this 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, but this chapter is only found in this one Gospel. Some of the parts of the life of Jesus are recorded by all four Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But only Luke recorded this part of the scripture: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and two lost sons. So today our opportunity, as we look at this scripture, is to put ourselves into this setting. Put ourselves into the examples that Jesus used of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and two lost sons. I urge you this morning to do that with me. Come to this scripture, put yourself into the story that Jesus is telling, and see how it relates to your own life. So we're going to look at three different parts of Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to highlight what I see as major statements that Jesus made in this discourse concerning himself, concerning his own merciful heart, the heart of God's Savior Son. I'd like to read verses, start with verse 1 and go down through verse 7, and have you just follow in your Bible as we read this. Then I'm going to highlight a statement I want you to note carefully. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. Can you see that scene? Despised people. Tax collectors were despised by the Jewish leaders. Sinners were despised and looked upon with contempt. All of these people gather now to Christ. And the Pharisees and the scribes complain, saying, "This man receives sinners and he eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep," he's calling them to question their own heart, their own thoughts, "which one of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" Now listen to the application that Jesus makes. Verse 7, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Now I want to highlight this statement from that text. Jesus said concerning that lost sheep, he said, The shepherd goes after that which is lost. And folks, this is a vital insight. Just stop and think for this for a moment. Who takes the initiative to save a lost sinner? It's not the sheep that goes after the shepherd. It's the shepherd that goes after the lost sheep. Why was it so true when you read the four Gospels? Why is it so true that we often find Jesus mingling with notable sinners? Over and over we find that. He called himself the friend of sinners. Right now, in your own heart, can you believe this regarding your own relationship with God, regarding your own personal destiny, your personal salvation, that the shepherd, the good shepherd, who is the Son of God, who is our Creator Savior, is the one who goes after the lost sheep? And why does he go after the lost sheep? Folks, it's the merciful passion of his life, of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to save every lost sinner. That's his desire. Now let's look at these words carefully and relate them to our own life. Look at the word lost. Jesus said, "The shepherd goes after that which is lost." When I look at that word and ponder that, and sharing God's word here today, I'm just impressed that Jesus knows, God's Son, the Creator, knows that sinners are lost. And he knows that every man is a sinner. Makes me think of this question. Does the typical person in our culture, in our community, understand that he's lost? Do most people around us realize that they are actually lost? Let me reveal some statements from God's word. Listen to this, will you, from the prophet Jeremiah. God said this, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They've turned them away on the mountains. They've gone from mountain to hill. They've forgotten their resting place." God looked down upon the world in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, and he said, the people in the world today, they're lost, wandering here and there from mountain to hill, and they don't know their resting place, their place of security. Ezekiel the prophet said this, speaking for the Lord, he said, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them." Ezekiel the prophet, 600 years before Jesus, looked upon humanity and he said, they're like lost, scattered sheep. No one's trying to find them. In Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus looked upon the crowds of Jewish people coming after him, we read these words by Matthew. "When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Do most people today realize that they're lost. I desire in my heart that no one here today would be a sheep that is lost, but it's possible. When you stop and think of your own relationship with God this morning, dear friend, do you consider yourself to be someone who's lost or someone who has been found? The shepherd found you and saved you. A number of years ago, Mary and I were going to British Columbia for a Bible conference. And we flew from Seattle up into, I think it was Prince George in British Columbia. And I always remember when I think back of that trip. Dark night, and we're flying over British Columbia, hundreds and hundreds of miles from America to that city in Canada. You know, when you fly over America, you see cities here and farm lights here and streets, and you see lots of activity. When you fly over British Columbia and look down, you fly for hours and you don't see a light. Total darkness through those in those jungles and forests. Try to imagine that situation. Supposing your eternal destiny depended upon this. You'd be placed in one of those dense locations in British Columbia. No houses, no towns, no roads, no lights. And your destiny depends upon finding your way out to a place of security and refuge. Well, entirely impossible. But friends, that's insignificant, that example, compared to the lost plight and condition of the person who's not been found by Jesus Christ. Do you have the confidence in your heart this morning that Jesus is the shepherd who came to find you? You were lost, lost because of sin, lost because of spiritual darkness and blindness. Then look at this statement in that parable we just read. Jesus said he finds it. The shepherd finds that lost sheep. A few weeks ago, John Neuss, the other pastor who preaches every other week, he went down to south part of our state and he bought a sheep, a ram. He's got a miniature farm up in the woods there, and he wanted a ram. He's got some female sheep, but he wanted a father sheep there. He brought it home. After several days, he let it out with the other sheep, and it disappeared. Now, if you could go up to John's place and see where he lives, it's dense woods in the forests of Michigan. And they searched, but they never found that poor little sheep. When John told me, I just grieved about that poor sheep being lost. Because of the predators and the wood ticks and everything else, it's miserable for a little sheep to be lost. And they've never found it. It's weeks later. What a joy it would have been if one day they'd gone out and they found that little ram that bring him back home. Can you see this scene that Jesus is describing for us, folks? The loving shepherd trudging through the darkness with a dim lantern. And the sky is black, the wind is strong, thunder's rumbling, and lightning is flashing in the sky. And he's trudging out in that wilderness in the night, in the storm, seeking for that one little lost sheep. He's got 99 sheep back home in the shepherd's fold, but he's seeking for the one that's lost. And suddenly, he hears the faint bleat of that tiny sheep. It's trapped in a crevice between two rocks. And so all alone in the night, the shepherd pushes his way through the brush toward that pitiful, weak cry, lifting his flickering lantern out ahead of him, and gripped with mercy and even a willingness to die for that little creature. And suddenly the shepherd's heart just throbs with love and excitement as his eyes catch the first glimpse of that wet, fuzzy little lamb. And he finds it. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. He's the shepherd who's come to find the lost sinner. And then Jesus said it was lost, he finds it, and he lays it on his shoulders. Can you see that scene? That's talking about the compassionate love of Christ. I want you to notice this, folks, in that parable. He didn't beat that foolish little animal. He didn't whip it for wandering away. But he reached down with his strong, gnarled hands and he clutched that helpless little sheep in his arms. And he lifted it up and he put it on his shoulders, the place of security. Perhaps the tiny creature had a broken leg. Surely it was afraid. It was hungry. It was weak and trembling. And Jesus said the shepherd lays it on his shoulders when he finds it. That's talking about his great love for lost sinners. His heart delight is when he can find a lost person. It was lost. He finds it. He lays it on his shoulders. And he said there's joy in heaven. He calls his neighbors together and they rejoice. Have you noticed how so many things that we rejoice about, our joy and our celebration diminishes? I hate to say this, but you go to a wedding and it's all celebration. But maybe 5 years later that celebration is diminished. It doesn't have to. I still celebrate with my beautiful wife. But it doesn't have to be. Many things that are, we buy a new home, the joy and excitement is so great, but it diminishes. You buy a new car and you're so excited you want to get a scratch on that car, but that joy diminishes. But I want to tell you this morning, folks, the joy that Jesus is talking about, the shepherd finding the lost sheep and putting it on his shoulders and taking it back to the sheepfold, that joy never diminishes. And if you'd read Revelation chapter 4 and 5, you'd find out how that it speaks of that in heaven. When we're there, we're going to rejoice forever with the Lamb of God. Well, first of all, Jesus said there was a lost sheep. And he explained the mercy of his heart. And he's talking to his enemies who criticize him for being friendly with sinners. And he says, men, I want you to know this. The good shepherd whom the Father sent from heaven goes after that one sheep that is lost. Now also, go down to verse 8 in Luke chapter 15, and let's read this example of the lost coin that Jesus talked about. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, this is Luke 15 verse 8, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, notice his application again, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, the phrase that we just read that I want to lift out and highlight for us to think about for a moment is from Jesus, from the heart of Jesus, is this. She searches carefully until she finds it. And I want to highlight some of the revealing words that Jesus used in explaining that example. The woman searching carefully till she found the lost coin. Jesus said, note this carefully, folks, in this parable. Jesus said she loses one coin. The shepherd lost one sheep. He had 99, but he was concerned about the one sheep. Now this lady lost one coin. And Jesus is saying she still had 9 coins. But she was not satisfied when even one of those coins was lost. Makes me ask this question. What is the significance of this carefully designed example that Jesus uses? A woman who had 10 coins and lost one, and she searches diligently because she lost one. I think one verse in the New Testament tells us the significance of that example. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, where Simon Peter said this. Listen carefully. God is not willing for anyone to perish. Lady, you have 9 coins. Don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed. But Jesus said if she loses one coin, she'll go and search for that. Now think about that for a moment carefully. As we've been moving through the teaching of Jesus during these weeks in the four Gospels, he has clearly taught that only a few people, relatively few people, will be saved compared to those who will be lost. Clearly Jesus teaches in various places in the New Testament that most people will not be saved. I don't like to say that, but I'm a Bible preacher, and so I need to say the truth when I stand here on a Sunday. I don't like the idea that Jesus said the vast proportion of mankind, the huge majority of mankind, will perish in the lake of fire. Jesus taught that, and if you carefully read the New Testament, you're going to see that truth in the Scripture. That's not a pleasant thing to talk about. But God is not willing for even one lost sinner to perish. And His Son, Jesus Christ, came to the world to search for the coin, that one coin that was lost. Lost because we are sinners, sons of Adam and Eve. And Jesus said concerning her, He said, she searches diligently until she finds it. Now, folks, right now, in your mind, think of a person that you know who's not a believer in Jesus. Can you do that in your mind? Think of someone you know, whether it's a relative or someone you work with or a neighbor, someone that you know who is not saved, not a believer in Christ. Jesus said that person is a lost coin, a lost sheep. And Jesus, God's Son, is not satisfied with that. He's not pleased about that. He came to the world. He said to those religious leaders that criticized Him, He said, I came to the world to search diligently for the one lost, unsaved person. He searches carefully. And the way that He does that, folks, is through us. The way He's seeking for lost people today is through the persons who become saved. And He sends us out into the world to invite people. I believe that in my own heart. That's why I'm on this planet Earth right now at this time of life. To invite people to come to Christ. To help find the lost coin or the lost sheep. And then Jesus said when she does find that, she also rejoices because of the coin that was found. She calls her friends and they rejoice. Living Hope Church started 20 years ago right now in July of 1993. And it's been an exciting time to be a part of this ministry of Living Hope Church. From the very beginning, when we first met in the Winchester Town Hall on Sunday nights for Bible study, right up till today. But the supreme joy of Living Hope Church has been people who have been found by the shepherd. And we started out, I think, with 12 people in our first meeting. And during these 20 years, it's been so tremendous to know that the shepherd has found people. He's found lost sheep. He's found the lost coin. And when that happens, there's great joy. And I can tell you this morning, as a pastor of Living Hope Church, the biggest joy of my life, and this is the most delightful time in my whole life of ministry, 60 years of ministry, but the greatest joy in my life has been people who are found. People who are lost and have come to understand Jesus is their Savior, and they've been found, saved, born into God's family, and their destiny is forever in heaven. So He talked about a lost sheep. He talked about a lost coin. And also in the next part of this scripture, He talks about two lost sons. Usually we think only one lost son. No, they're both lost in this story. And I want us to read it. Will you pick it up with me at verse 11? It's a long passage, but I want you to read this about two lost sons. Chapter 15, verse 11. Then He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living, a lost son. But when he spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. This is the lost son, his younger son. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Folks, this is the one thing a lost son has to do to get back into the family. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he saw him, when he was still a great way off, and his father saw him, and he had compassion, he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The lost son coming home. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. This is how the father receives a lost son when he comes out. His father said to him, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now here's the second son, who's also lost. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father's killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. Here's a lost son who stayed home. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he, the father, said to this second son, the lost son, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. At the beginning this morning, dear people, as we started this scripture, I said, put yourself into these scenes. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and now the two lost sons. When you put yourself into these scenes, where do you see you fit? Notice what Jesus said. This is a statement that really impresses me in this part of the story. The father sees him. Can you see this picture? The son returning after a long life of drunkenness and immorality and dissipation, the son returning, and the father sees him and has compassion. Dear folks, that's what this book is all about. This is the explanation of God's saving mercy and his grace. And Jesus explained in this story when he talked to the son, what is God's grace? What is God's mercy? Folks, listen to this phrase from the lips, the heart of Jesus. Speaking to the older son, he said, all that I have is yours. We can't miss that. That's the major point. The father didn't give his prodigal son what he deserved. He didn't give him what he earned. When the prodigal son came home, the father said, all that I have is yours. That was the heart of the father toward that rebellious son. Folks, that is the meaning of Jesus Christ's diligent search for lost people and for undeserving prodigals. Just don't miss this as we come to the conclusion of this chapter. The Savior, the Son of God, the God who came to be a man and to die for you and me said, all that I have is yours. Can you really believe that this morning as you worship with us on this beautiful day? Can you believe that that's the God of the Bible? That's the God who sent his son to this planet so that he could say to you individually, all that I have is yours. I want to give you all that I have, all of my love, all of my grace. It's for you. You just come and receive that. Folks, this is the meaning of the Father's welcome. This is the meaning of his lavish banquet. I've loved this story since I was a young man. To realize that the God of the Bible is a God who waits for his rebellious sons to come home. And I was one of those rebellious sons as a young man. Disappointed, embarrassed, and ashamed. But having heard the gospel of Christ over and over from parents and Bible preachers, at the age of about 19 or 20, I came home to Jesus Christ. As Dr. Jim shared his testimony this morning, the time came in his life, though a religious man, when he came home to the Father. And we see that prodigal son in the far-off country, sitting in a pig pen, a lowly position for a Jewish man, wishing he could eat the food that the pigs left over. Jesus is demonstrating the plight of a man's life who runs away, who turns away. He's a lost son. But when he came home, there was a banquet. Why would the Father shower him with so much blessing? Because Jesus said, "All that I have is yours." But that second son was also lost. He stayed home. He didn't squander his inheritance, but he was lost because he didn't enjoy the Father's grace and mercy. He was self-righteous. He was trusting in his own worthiness. Well, my longing and my prayer as I come to stand in this place and share the word today, this powerful, wonderful chapter, is that everyone who's here will realize I was lost and I came home and he received me. He said that parable to people who were trusting in their religion. Self-righteous Jewish people trusting in their ability to keep the Ten Commandments, all the rituals, trusting in their religion. And he said, "I want you to know who God is. God is a shepherd who became a man, who seeks for the lost one. He's that woman who had 9 coins but wasn't contented until she found the one that was lost." He was saying to those religious people, "You need to know God is the one who receives prodigal sinners when they come home to him." I'm just going to read a little paragraph as we finish this morning, written by the Apostle John. This summarizes it so well. Just listen and take this into your own mind and heart right now. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Listen to this statement. "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us. He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation." That means the perfect, complete, adequate sacrifice on our behalf. Lost people need to be found. And I hope that each one of us today can look at this scripture and say, "Thank you, Father. It's not my religion. It's not my worthy life. It's the fact that you sent Jesus to die for my sins." Please bow with me in a prayer right now. While we bow our heads silently and quietly in prayer, I just want to offer this opportunity to someone. It could be that you came today and you didn't see this about yourself. You didn't realize you need to be found. And just in quietness, right where you are, right there, you could say, "Jesus Christ, I come to you. I believe you died for me. I believe you're my Savior. I come to you today to receive you as my Savior." Father, it's our desire that the truth of this awesome passage of Scripture will be clear, encouraging, promising for every one of us who've listened to the Word today. And I thank you so much, Father, for the statement that Jesus made when he said, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will not cast out." Father, I thank you for that promise. Many times we question and wonder about our own faith. But thank you, Father, that we can come back to that truth, that Jesus did not reject me. He received me when I came to him. And I pray that each one here today, Father, might have that confidence. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.